The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Well, today it is a privilege and an honor for me to be able to stand and to deliver the word to you. As you know, we have been in the book of Acts, and we're taking a step out of that series today to speak to you, those of you who are mothers. How many moms do we have here today? Well, God bless you. We're very thankful for you. And today I want to speak to you today from the Word of God. So that doesn't mean that the rest of you get to tune out. You still need to listen, because God's Word still can speak to you today. You say as a kid, you're like, well, I'm not a mom, I'm not a kid. So, but still, there's truths that are here. God's Word is timeless, and it's God's Spirit can speak to our hearts. So very fittingly, as John prayed this morning, may we all have ears to hear. May our eyes see what the Spirit wants to say to us today. But moms, I really want to encourage your heart today. There is a lot of things in the Word of God that I pondered of what to say to you today. But as I prayed through and felt led by the Lord, I want to speak to you today about your godly influence of being an unnamed mom. You know, the reason why I say that is because many times, moms, you do much that is not noticed. You do much that's not recognized, maybe unappreciated or underappreciated. And I want to encourage your hearts today that you're not alone in that. There are many people in history who have been godly moms that no one knows their name except their own children. Even in Scripture today, that I am choosing to pick some individuals that are in Scripture that we don't even know their names, but yet that God used them tremendously to make a difference. Now, if Lord fitting allows us to have time, I have three particular moms that I have chosen that fit this category. Someone that's unnamed, but yet they're in Scripture. We don't know anything about them, but what we do know is their lives highly influence the people around them. It may be some that you've read through and just maybe just kind of read across, and maybe it's not really stuck out to you, but it stuck out very strongly to me this week. Because I know sometimes all of us, maybe outside of being a mom or whatever your title is that you have, sometimes we all may feel a little unappreciated in regards to what we do. We may think, has anybody noticed what's being done around here at all? Does anybody recognize what I am doing at all? I want to encourage you that the work that we do, whatever it is, we should be doing what Colossians says, or Paul says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of Christ. The recognition is for Him. But as we start Mother's Day sermon, this text and this time together, I'm very aware that many of us in this room, maybe many of you who are as a mom, you may think in your own life, and I think that many of you fit many different calibers and categories. Some of you had a godly mother and a godly influence. You could look at their life and say, this is how I can be a godly mom. I'll look at their life, I'll see what they did, and I'll live just like them. But that's not always the case for every one of you in this room. Some of you have had generations that you grew up where your mom was not a believer. Maybe they were just a good mom, but maybe they weren't given a godly influence. Maybe they weren't pointing you to Christ or to Scripture. And you look at that and you say, well, can I still be a godly mother? Absolutely. Maybe some of you that was in this room weren't even raised by a mom. Maybe your mom wasn't even in the scene. Maybe you're raised by a grandmother, or maybe even a father where the mother wasn't there. Or maybe some of you came from foster care or adoption, whatever it may be. And so all those questions that rise up, and sometimes I think those scenarios make people feel inadequate to become a godly mom. And I want to encourage your heart with this. Whatever your scenario was, you don't have to be what was or wasn't. You can be what God wants you to be, and your model can be from what God has called you to be. Some of you had great examples, and some of you didn't. But what I want to encourage your heart with is from what the Word teaches us today of some examples of how you can be a godly mother. I'm going to show you three examples, again, if time permits. We're going to spend most of our time probably on this first mom, and I want to ask you to turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Now, immediately, as you hear that, many of you probably think, oh, he's going to that passage that talks about the woman who fears the Lord. Well, that's within the context of what we're talking about, and that's advice that's given by Solomon to his son in regards to how he's supposed to choose his wife. But what I want you to recognize is this entire chapter doesn't originate with Solomon. This chapter actually originates with someone completely different. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, the first mother that I want you to see of an encouragement today is by a lady by the name of unnamed. But it's King Lemuel's mom. Anybody know who King Lemuel is? Neither do any Hebrew scholars. Look at the text with me. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. Because if you had an answer, I was going to be really surprised, and I was just going to listen to see what you said. Because I was thinking maybe you found some research that I hadn't found. Verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle or a prophecy that his mother taught him. Ponder that for a moment. Here's what I want you to think about just for a moment. Most of these proverbs have been attributed to Solomon, that the scripture calls the greatest man of wisdom. Remember when he was with the Lord and he was asked what could he have? Remember, what did he ask for? Wisdom. God granted him wisdom, and we have a book that's full of wisdom. That's why many times in Bible reading plans, one of the things that comes around quite frequently is, even in my own life, one of the things that I do is read a proverb for the day of the month in addition to the other things that I'm reading. It is loaded with wisdom, wisdom after wisdom after wisdom. But what we get to in Proverbs chapter 31 is an oracle or a teaching that was given to King Lemuel by his mother, but we don't even know who he is. We don't know who she is, but ponder this with me. It became Holy Scripture. Think about that. Here is a passage of Scripture that often gets quoted and pointing to really the second part of this chapter about some qualifications for a godly wife, and we will look at that in just a moment. But I think oftentimes we just kind of blow through verse 1 and we're missing a big picture that is here. Here's something that I want you to see, moms. Your life can be highly influential, and we may not know your name years down the road, but it still can be quite influential in the people that you're influencing. Here's this passage of Scripture that I want us to see, and we're looking at this passage of Scripture, think about it. This king that we don't know anything about, what we do know is who King Solomon is. So what we think about is this. Somehow this wisdom that was given from the mom to King Lemuel somehow impacted King Solomon to the point that he wants to give it on to his own son, to the point that in the Holy Spirit's inspiration, it becomes truth for us to even have today. And we think about this. This is a mother of wisdom. This is what I want to first encourage you with, because as moms, oftentimes you're giving instruction, you're giving counsel, and beyond just how to brush your teeth and how to put your clothes on and how to make up your bed and how to wash dishes and given the chores and all those things, besides just the daily routine of things, there's even a higher calling that God has given you, and that's to give good, godly wisdom to your children. This is an example of this. But I want to point out a couple of things about this mother of wisdom that I want you to see, and maybe even applicable to your own life, is what is it that God has called me to do, and what am I to pass on? The first really recognition or observance that I have about this woman is this. She was a mother who gave counsel or wisdom when it was needed. When it was needed. Let me make clear to you. Wisdom and opinion are two different things. This is a mother that is giving wisdom when it's needed, not necessarily your opinion. We're all good about giving our opinions. We all want people to hear what we want to think about that, what our perspective is about that. But honestly, not everybody wants to hear our opinion. But we sure want everybody else to hear our opinion. Let me just say this to you. This is not just applicable for you when your children are little, because do you realize how old this man is when the mother speaks to him? He's already a king. This is not a mama giving wisdom to a toddler, to a tyke, to a child, to a teenager, but to a grown man in authoritative position, and she's passing on wisdom when it was needed. I want you to recognize something. This is not a mom who has just been coddling her little son, but she recognizes when her son is in danger of veering away from what is true. Look at the way that it's worded in verse 2. This is quoted now. This is Solomon quoting what has said. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? Do you hear the tone that is in this same text? She's recognizing as she looks to her son that he's a king, and she recognizes he's drifting from the roots of what he knew, from what he heard. So she's not just trying to just butt in and just try to give her thoughts. She's recognizing this is a critical moment that her son is veering off and that she needs to be able to give a word that is necessary to point him back to the root foundation of God. Do you as a mother want to sit back and see your children fly off the cliff of immorality and fly off the cliff of terrible decision making, fly off the cliff and walk away from God? Certainly you or I cannot control them. But if we see that, we should be standing at the cliff with the hands waving, says, what are you doing? Point them when it's needed. Listen, this is not saying that they're guaranteed to always hear what you have to say. Let's just back up. Let's put your life in reverse for whatever length of time it is to put you back in teenage years. That wasn't to make you moan. That was just simply... Did anyone ever have this thought about your mother or your father? They don't have a clue what they're talking about. Okay, enough said then, right? Now fast forward. Has any of you who said that had it said to you? Confession time can happen tomorrow, okay? But what I want you to realize is that, you know, we're prone to, there's nothing, even as Ecclesiastes says, nothing is new under the sun. You know, we're people of the flesh, we struggle with sin, our sin nature, but that doesn't mean, listen, what makes me cringe as a pastor, and when I was a youth pastor, when I was serving in Grand Isle, and I would hear people say these words, I'm going to let them make their own decision about this particular moral issue. Are you kidding me? Now, there's one thing to understand that a child or a teenager or even an adult makes their own decision. Certainly, you can't make them make any decision. It's another thing, though, to point out what the Word of God says and then trust that God is going to work in them, and then they make their own decision. But just sit idly by. Listen, if this mother, if this mama, think about it, if this mom had not spoken these words, we would not have this inspired scriptural truth here before us today. But she spoke when it was necessary. Now, I want you to understand something. There's a little different culture of that day than this day. Now, this is the kings in the East, and the kings in the East, there was actually a high regard for the mothers of the kings. They actually called them Queen Mother. It's actually in Scripture a couple of different times. If you just read through the book of Kings, you'll actually see that, for example. One example of that is Solomon himself. His mom Bathsheba comes to see him on one particular occasion early on in the book of Kings. And so he calls her Queen Mother, and he actually kneels and bows before the mother. Now, that's actually kind of backwards in our thinking about kings, is it not? There was a high regard for what the mothers had to say. Let me just show it to you in the book of Proverbs, even how Solomon understood it himself. Go back just to the very first chapter, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 8. I want you to see how even in their understanding that there is the high view of what the mother was to say. Verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. You see, there's this high regard that's there. So understand that in their culture, the mother was one who saw, they were seen as one who gave great wisdom. My encouragement to you as a godly mother is give the wisdom when it's needed. not just because you want to say something about everything in regards to their life, but understanding when it's come from God to be able to say what is true. Now, that may mean sometimes your children may not like what you have to say. Your job, this is for all parents, is to please God first and foremost and not just to try to get a best friend out of your kid. Teach them, let them be a good friend later. But point them to the biblical truth of God. Be that mother of wisdom so that even if it's spoken truth to them and they don't want to hear it in that particular moment, you're sowing the seed of truth and you're trusting the power of God's wisdom word in their life. Let me show you a second aspect of this mother of wisdom. She was the mother who gave very specific wisdom, though. It wasn't just vague terms. It was very specific to the situation that was needed. Let me just show you in this proverb. We're not going to exhaust this proverb to its far extent, but I want to show you four categories that he really addresses in this proverb. Category number one is she gave him wisdom on women. Verse 3, look at it. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. The ones who destroy kings she's referring to is women. Now, I'm not mocking women. I'm just simply saying that the kings of the day, when they were in such high power that any woman would flock to them because they wanted to be able to be in that high position, it was a temptation for them. We see that even in Solomon's own life himself. I mean, let me show it to you. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11, just to be the case in point, just as an example. Turn back to 1 Kings 11. So if you're in Psalms, go back left in your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 11. We see that the author here of Kings even lets us know how the danger of the women of that day were highly influencing him. This is where, again, that the mother is recognizing her son is drifting from truth and drifting from God. And so she speaks truth into his life. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. So when you go back to Proverbs chapter 31 again, and you see that statement in verse 3, she's giving him wisdom on the women, meaning like you need to not be with women that don't love God. That'll turn you away. So as a you think, well, my child is only 3. You don't have to sit them down and give them like this long course of women at age 3. The point being is I want you to see that this mother is giving good counsel and is speaking some hard truths to their children, her son. Let me say a second category. She even gives him wisdom on drinking. Verse 2 through 5 is what this whole category is about. You notice what he says. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what he's even been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. What is she saying? Make wise choices here, and even in drinking, it's going to affect your mind. You can't even be a godly king. In our culture today, let them decide. Let them do what they want to do. Let me show you a third category. She gives him wisdom on the helpless. Verse 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. She's making him make certain that he comes off that high plane of that ivory throne and where he was to make certain he's defending the right of the helpless, standing up for those. She's giving him godly counsel. And the last category that's here is verse 10 through 31, which most of us know, and that is the wisdom on a godly wife. Now, how fitting that is, especially now after you understand what she's saying in verse 2. When she's saying, she uses one verse to say, stay away from these ungodly women, and then she uses 22 verses then to give the specifics on how to make certain that you're choosing a godly wife. I thank God for my parents, even though that I was raised in a Christian home, and the people that I would be dating, they would say, are you certain this is the person you could spend the rest of your life with? Hard head here, dating someone for a long time. I'll never forget, I was laying in bed one morning,
And I woke up, my mom was right there in my face. Like, what are you doing, Mom? I'm praying for you. About what? And it was about that relationship that I was in that particular time. She wanted me to have wisdom to think. Now, that was not the relationship with this awesome woman that I have. But she was speaking truth, and it was hard. I didn't want to hear it, you know. But praise God that they spoke truth, and praying, though, that God would open my eyes to see that. What's the point being? These are four categories. Obviously, that's not all the categories of life. But the point that I want you to see in this is a mother who's not just giving just vague stuff about be a good person and be kind and treat people. It was a situation that was right in front of what was happening to her son's life, and she's pointing out what is true and what is right and what is godly. Being unafraid to speak that truth. But it begs the question, as I ponder this, and this is the question I want to get to. I don't want to just do just practical stuff. I want to get to the heartbeat of this. How is it possible that this unnamed mom of King Lemuel could give good, godly wisdom that becomes inspired scripture of God? And it is this. She is able to be a mother who gives wisdom because she walked with God. How do we know that from this passage of scripture? I think there's two points of evidence in this passage of scripture that clearly shows us that this is a woman who walks with God. Listen, ungodly people can give good counsel. But absent of the Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to give wisdom that comes only from God. How do we know she walked with God? Just look at the end of chapter 31. And let me show you one of the qualifications that she lists in regards to having a godly wife. Look at verse 30. I believe that it is because she's giving this characteristic of a godly wife. It means it's something that's reflected that she herself must have been doing herself. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I believe she can say that because she's that. That she herself is a woman who fears the Lord. Who fears the Lord, and she wants her son to not be giving himself away to these other women of verse 2 that could turn his heart away from God and, in her own words, could destroy him. She wants her son to have a godly wife so that he could have a godly reign. She walks with God. But let me show you another way I think that we can see that we know that she's walking with God. Look at chapter 31, verse 2. We see in this question that she is being bothered by the way that he is living. But I want you to see this phrase that's mentioned at the end of verse 2. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do you know what that means? The son of her vows means that, look, I gave you to the Lord. You're the son of my vow. I gave you to him. Son of my vow, I've been praying for you. What are you doing? I'm praying for you, son. This is a woman who's not just idly by. This is a woman who fears God. She gave her child to God, and she's interceding for her son. She's fearing the Lord. Listen, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says these words. I'll put it on the screen for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You don't have to have a PhD to be able to have the wisdom from God. You have to have the fear of the Lord. You have to have knowledge of the Holy One. And as you spend time with Him, He gives the wisdom through the Spirit of God, and you're able to have the wisdom to be able to address what's in front of you. You cannot even in this moment, I cannot even in this moment, think about every situation that our children will face or even that your grown children will face. But what you can be certain of is spending time with God. Let God give you wisdom and let Him point you to the truths that are in the Word of God, and let the Word of God speak. Mamas, the practical application of this is this. If you want to be able to be a mom that is going to influence your children in such a way with godly wisdom, it is simply not just
purposing your heart to just say, I'm going to be a mom who gives wisdom. It's not going to be a mom who just simply says, I'm going to think of some creative truths that my child will always remember and will be passed on. Purpose in your heart fails. But commitment to be with God is the rock. To be able to say, I'm going to spend time with God. Listen, even let me speak to you as children and teenagers. At some point, if God allows you to have a relationship, a marriage, and at some point you're going to be wisdom. Listen, you don't get married and then you start seeking God to have wisdom. You better start now. Seeking God so that you can be the one who's able to give great truths to those who are under your care that God gives to you. Now, I want you to think about just a moment with me. This is definitely a mother who gave wisdom when it was needed. She was a mother who gave specific wisdom. This is a mother who walked with God. But this is a mother who also impacted generations for generations. I want you to think about this with me. Do you think that King Lemuel's mother sat down one day and says, I wonder what I can write and what I'll say to Lemuel that they'll be talking about 3,000 years from now? You say 3,000 years? Absolutely right. Even if we think about this, King Solomon, who reigned in the latter 900 BC, that's almost 3,000 years from that point. Think about the generations. Let me just do it this way. We don't know exactly when King Lemuel reigned. But what we do know is the mother passed on the truth and this wisdom to Lemuel. One generation. It impacted her son. It impacted King Solomon. So let's just make that two generations. Solomon is passing on to his son. Now that's three generations. If you take the math from the actual reigning point of time when he reigned in the inner night, the last part of the 900 BCs, all the way up to us, that means there's 73 generations. If you divide that by 40, on average of a generation, 73 generations that's been impacted because a godly mama spoke truth to her child. Praise God for godly mamas who speak wisdom. What's the point? Moms, let me just encourage you. Do not underestimate the power of speaking biblical truth to your children, whether they are 7 or whether they're 17 or whether they're 47. When the opportunity knocks and it's placed in front of you, because some of you might need to learn when to give wisdom. Just ponder that thought. Praying if you see your children that's in the need for it and maybe they're reluctant to hear it, maybe you need to pray that they'll be willing to hear you, an opportunity, maybe the phone call will come, but you're praying for that opportunity and then you're trusting that God's word that speaks through you can fall not on deaf ears but will fall upon the heart that's ready to hear it and God changes them. Trust the power of God, the wisdom. Listen to, not me nor you can ever create wisdom that's greater than Almighty God. Our wisdom comes from the Word Himself and comes from the Great High One. So moms, point them to God. Point them to the greatness of the Lord. You still, listen, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, my children are grown. How does this even apply to me? You mean to tell me that your grown children never need wisdom? They've all got it figured out, right? Now, obviously, you're not involved as much in their life. Maybe they're a distance away from you. Maybe they don't want to hear from you. Maybe you've been too much of giving your opinion rather than giving biblical wisdom. And if they are grown, then maybe you say, well, maybe I failed. Maybe some of you didn't raise your children to the Lord, and now you're sitting in this room and you're thinking, God, I failed my kids. Let me tell you something to you. You can't go back and undo what was done. You can't go back and redo those years you wish you could reuse and relive. But what you can do is you can focus on the years that you have with them, even if they're grown, and that if they are walking in a way that's not pleasing to God, then you can walk pleasing to the Lord. Let them see how God makes a difference in your own life, and then let the opportunities be created that you can say how God has changed you and how it can change them. The last thing I want to say as an application about this, mom, is this. You can't have this kind of wisdom if you don't have Christ as your king. This wisdom comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from walking with God. It comes from walking in the Spirit. You can't just say, I want this type of wisdom, and just simply decide to get it tomorrow. So it begs the question that I ask each of you as mothers, do you know Christ as your own King and your own Savior? If not, you recognize that you may have good suggestions, but the wisdom, oh, it comes from God. May you ask Him to give that to you. Well, not only do I want to encourage you to be a mother of wisdom, I want to encourage you with a second mother about being a mother of faith. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. I want you to see a second mother this morning that is not named, but we see that where she is recognized as a woman of faith. Any mothers need wisdom? Any mothers need faith? We see here in this passage of Scripture another mom that's not named. Another mom. But she's recognized by Jesus Himself, again, as an opportunity. We see it's in the inspired Scripture. Another woman that is not named, but yet is a mother that is recognized as a person of faith. This is a story of a Canaanite woman who's begging God, begging Jesus for help. Verse 21 through verse 28. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Let me just kind of get the context here. As Jesus has got some pressure that's heightening, if you will. It's increasing because of the Pharisees. They are opposed to Him. He's pointed out to them some things. It's about them that's wrong, and the heat's being turned up against Him in regards to the Pharisees. And so He's leaving the region. He's going now to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is outside the Galilee region. There's a place where there's also Gentile people that is there. And now we pick up in that story in verse 22. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon," but He did not answer her a word. And His disciples came and begged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before Him, saying, now this is her second time, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me." And He answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Here's the second mother that's in Scripture that oftentimes we think about moms who have names that we recognize in Scripture. Here is the mom now that's recognized as a mother of faith. Certainly a mother of wisdom and a mother of faith. But what is it in this particular story that's so unique that's here? We read through that passage of Scripture and there's some things that kind of stick out that might bother some people. One, it seems like Jesus is putting her off. Doesn't sound like Jesus at all. But here what I want you to understand, this lady is not just coming to get a quick fix. There's difference, because if you look through the story in the Gospels, you'll see some people who follow Jesus just because they want something. And Jesus recognized those things, people who came just because they wanted something. Clearing that after John chapter 2, after Jesus turned the water to wine, some people were amazed, and it says Jesus didn't entrust Himself to them because He knew what was in their heart. Here's a scenario where this is a woman who's a Canaanite woman who's approaching Christ. Remember, she's a Gentile. She recognizes that this is not normal. But how do we know this woman truly believes? It's in the address that she calls Jesus. Look at it again, right there in verse 22. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Get this with me. Here is a Gentile woman who understands that Jesus is from the line of the Davidic prophecy, that He's supposed to be the Messiah. Here is a woman who's calling out to Him and saying, "You're the Lord, and You're the Son of the Messiah. You are the Son of the King. You are the Messiah." It is a trustingness. It's a faith expression that she has. She knows He is her only hope. She calls out to Him, but then she has people who come up to her. That is her obstacle. So it's going to prevent her from being able to have this faith. And who is it? It's the disciples. People who are supposedly following God, following Christ, are saying to Jesus, "Do you want us to get rid of her?" Think about this. This is not people who were just unbelievers and people who were mean, people who were unkind. These were people, if we want to use it in our day, people in the church who were being the opposition to her. What does Jesus answer in verse 24 to their expression about send her away? I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you said, wait a minute, I thought Jesus came for both Jews and Gentiles. Certainly, but Jesus came and his ministry was predominantly to Jews. After Jesus went on, he's given that ministry to the apostles to be able to move on. That's the whole book of Acts that is going on to the Jews and to the Gentiles. His point is that he's not necessarily ignoring them, but he's also testing her faith. I came to the lost house of Israel. Now, if she was a person who wasn't of faith, guess what she would do in that moment? What would she do? Leave. But she now comes, listen to me, even in face of the opposers to her, who are wanting her to leave, she kneels before him and she says, Lord, that same word, kurios, that she says from before, which is the Greek words, it's the same in the Old Testament as Yahweh, she's saying, God, help me. And I love this interaction. Right there in verse 26, he answers her, it's not right to take the children's bread. Now, the children's referring to the Jews of that day. It's not right to take the Jews' bread and throw it to the dogs. Does that sound kind to you? How would Jesus say that? Well, if you dig a little deeper, there's two words for dog in the Greek. One is a scavenger dog that's a bother. And there's another word for pet. Anybody want to guess which one he uses? For pet. Jesus is not saying that she's a scavenger dog that's a problem, but think about it. A pet was in the house. Think about it. The Jews who are in the house is able to have the gospel, and he's saying, look, it's not right that we even give it to the pet. But she's saying, but yet, dogs can even eat the crumbs. What is she saying? I just need a little. This rings the bell of what the whole parable of the faith of the mustard seed. Here is the mother that we have no idea what her name is, but she's in the scripture as a great woman of faith. When opposition came her way, she didn't let the opposition, and yet it didn't push her far away from God. It means that she got closer to God and she knelt right before him because she knew Jesus was the only hope she had. Help me, O God! And Jesus doesn't even have to go and touch her child. It's in that moment he says, because of your great faith, she's healed. Moms, your children, your family don't just need a mother of wisdom. They need a mama who will pray. They'll need a mama who has faith. They need a mama who will seek the face of God when the opposition comes the way. The opposition may be people who say, your child will never change. Just quit praying. You say, no. You pray and you seek the face of God. There will be the opposers. There will be the doctors. There will be the nurses that say, there's no hope for your child. And you say, no. You pray. You fast. You seek the face of God. There'll be people who will tell you that your child's marriage is on the rocks and it's not going to be any way possible for it to stay. And you say, no. You press in a little bit more and you say, God, help this situation. You fill in the blank. There will always be opposers, and the opposers aren't always people outside the church. Don't let it push you from the Lord. Let it be like this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman, and you press in more and you fast and you pray. When you're giving the truth to your children and they're not wanting to hear it about the gospel and they reject the gospel, you keep praying because the hope is in Jesus. Be a woman of faith and be a woman of wisdom. Maybe you look at your children and maybe you recognize that maybe their own lives is turning and drifting, just like we see in Proverbs chapter 31 about Lemuel. And maybe your wisdom has been given everything that you know to give them, but you're not seeing anything happening. This is when you hit your knees and you need to be a woman of faith that goes in conjunction with the woman of wisdom. And you cry out to Almighty God because you know, the only hope comes from on high. Be that woman of faith and call out. This is where even if you're sitting here this morning and if you're listening by stream and you say, man, I wasted so many years and now my kids are doing these different things. Then be a woman of faith and seek the face of God for God to change their lives. Don't just sit in your car. Don't just sit in your closet and just mumble and complain. Seek God for them. Beg God for them. Well, certainly you say, well, what does that mean for me? Let's couple it with this. To be a woman of wisdom, you need to set aside time to be able to spend time with the Lord so you can gain that wisdom and gain that knowledge of the Holy One of insight. Secondly, don't just be a Bible reader. Spend time also in prayer, communion with God. Lay your petitions down before God. Don't be like this and say, God, if you're able to. Wrong. There's never a question of God's ability. The question if it's His will. God, I know You're able. If it's Your will, I'm asking for this. It's like the story in Mark chapter 9 where the man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if You can. You know what Jesus' response was? If I can. Are you with me? So the woman of faith to be able to petition before the God. Listen, we're talking about the God who created the universe out of nothing. Who took us from a speck of dirt. That the very things that are problematic in us, He formed us out of nothing. We're praying to the God who's above all things. I love Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. Now to Him who's able to do more than we can ask or think, to Him be glory. Listen, He's able to do more than you can ask or you can think. So get on your knees. Be like this Canaanite woman and crawl up to God and say, Lord, help me. Help my child. Help my grandkids. Help my family. Do what you got to do. Seek His face. Be a woman of faith. For this generation, the next generation, and generations to come. I want to give you one last mother. Not just a mother of wisdom. Not just a mother of faith. I want to encourage you to be a mother to the motherless. Look with me now to Romans chapter 16. I'll be honest with you, my study this week, this is probably the first time that this passage has really stuck out to me in this particular way. So we've seen the challenge to be a mother of wisdom, a mother of faith. And now I want you to encourage you to be a mother to the motherless. In chapter 16 of Romans, the context is this. Paul has written his letter to the church at Rome, to the Christians that are there. In chapter 16, it is a list of greetings of people who have made up the church in Rome. It is a litany of people. He lists many people by name, probably over 30 people by name. But there's one in this context of Mother's Day that I think is important. This is Paul who's writing this. Notice with me, verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Think about this context. Paul, who was a Jew of all Jews, a Pharisee of all Pharisees, a zealot to the law. We know nothing about his Jewish mother. But here, Rufus's mom, who's in this list of Christians, who's at the church at Rome, and Paul, who has been on multiple missionary journeys by the time that he gets here. By the time this is written, all the book of Acts has been completed chronologically. All those things have taken place. And he's saying, look, thank Rufus's mama because she's been a mama to me. Do you know what that means? It means, listen, mamas in the church. It means that there may be people within the church that may not have a godly mama, but even though they're not your biological child, you still can be a Christian, godly church mama to someone who needs a mama. Recognize the impact. I read that text and my mind started racing in regards to what that relationship would have been like with Paul to Rufus's mom. Now, obviously, he couldn't call her on the cell phone or go get an operator or whatever it might have been. But obviously, if he's saying she was a mama to me, I wonder what that would have been like. You know, when you go home and mama makes the meal for you, or mama listens to your cries. Those moments when, listen, Paul's a human. Paul had success and Paul had difficulties. Listen, we just read in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 14 about the beatings that he had. Can you imagine sitting down talking to Rufus' mama? Say, Rufus' mama, whatever her name was, I don't know. Mama, we'll say mama. Mama, you'll never think what that was like. Oh, I know, honey, but you're fine. Yeah, you got a little scars. You want something to eat? But she also could have been, but more than that, she could also have been an encouraging person to him. Paul, keep going. God's called you. Keep faithful. Preach the word, Paul. Don't give up when it's hard. Stay focused. There's a saying that is true that I believe that is true for all pastors. Behind every good pastor is a praying wife. And every good pastor is also a praying mom. Moms, my plea and encouragement to you is do not think that just because you were not recognized, appreciated, or acknowledged, that you were not needed. Be a mama of wisdom. Be a mother of faith. And be a mother to the motherless who may need you. Generations that will come after you, maybe for the grandkids or the great-grandkids, could all be impacted by just one simple truth that is said. Don't underestimate the time that you spend on your knees, the time that you spend in the Word. Those silent moments you sit before God praying for your child's spouse. Silent moments you sit before God praying for the discernment and the direction that they need for their lives. You're trusting in God. Does it really make a difference? I want to illustrate it with this simple conclusion. This Bible that you never see me have here was my very first Bible that I began preaching from at the age of 15. It's called The Ministry, September 1990. 15 years of age. This was the first Bible my parents gave me after surrendering to the ministry. This is a special Bible for me. I keep it on my bookshelf and periodically I will look through it and thank God that I study a lot different than I did at 15. Thank God that He still saved people because the Word was faithful. But after this Bible was given to me, my mom took it and wrote some simple words in the back. Byron, always do what Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says. That verse says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. That scripture has become a life verse for me. And she continued, I will always pray for you. Remember, love is a great asset when dealing with people. Love, Mom, September 1990. Thank God for a godly mom and a godly dad. And if you're listening, Mom, I do love you. My word to you those simple words have impacted me 28 years now. There's been time where those words have governed my life. To trust Him with my whole heart. Those words have governed my life at times when I've had to love difficult people. Those words have governed my life knowing that I had a mother and a father who was praying for me. Moms, do not underestimate the power of the words of wisdom. My mom gave words of wisdom, and my mom is a woman of faith. You can impact your children and the children to come. Commit to be with God, commit to pray, and trust God to work. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for these examples in Scripture of unnamed moms, however we see how greatly impacting they were. A woman who gave wisdom to a king that we know nothing about, but yet the words became inspired Scripture. Words of wisdom. A Canaanite mother that we don't know her name, but yet in Scripture for us to see the need for mothers to be mothers of faith, to cry out for their children. An example in Romans of a mother that we don't know her name, but yet was highly impacting to a man who planted many churches and has given us many books that's in our Bible. God, there's probably some moms in this room who need encouragement today. Probably some moms in this room that they themselves have been drifting in their own commitment to be in the Word and to be in prayer. And today that this Word, oh God, may have spurred their heart the need to be with you more so that they can be that godly mom to their children. Maybe you've used this word to spur the need for some of these mothers to give some words of wisdom that they've been hesitant to give, but yet this passage has prompted their hearts to be able to do that with courage and trust that your word is what's going to change lives. God, I pray in this moment, if there are moms that are feeling convicted because they recognize they've not done it all right, they've failed, Lord, I ask in this moment that they would not hang their head and cover in guilt and shame, but yet they would call to you that is a God of grace and forgiveness. A God that's gracious to give us another chance. God that's gracious to help us when we've failed. A God that's gracious to help us take the next step when we've messed up the past 20 or more. So God, today, encourage the hearts of moms. Encourage the hearts of moms who've been given wisdom and it's thrown back in their face. Encourage the hearts of mom when they've been wanting to give up because they've prayed a long time. God, spark their heart today to be moms who seek your face. God, I pray that if there are any in this room, any moms who have not given their lives to Christ, or any man, any woman, any boy or girl today that has not yielded to Christ as the King of Kings, that cannot say like this Canaanite woman, "Oh God, you are the Son of David," if that cannot come from their lips, and God, I pray today they would call out to you and you'd save their soul. God, there may be others in this room today that their hearts are heavy. Maybe they came today with a burdened heart, a mind that's consumed with issues in their lives, other things that's heavy on their heart that they need answers for. And even today, God, for their need, Let your Spirit work in them. Give them the answer that they need. May they trust in you, O God, to meet their need. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth of your word, the promises that you give us. We cling to those today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our time of commitment, I'll be here. Our youth pastor, Jared, will be here. If you need to pray, maybe you want, as a mom, need to pray and ask prayer for help for you. Maybe it's something that you want us to pray in conjunction with you for someone, a child or a grandchild. You come. Whatever God's placed upon your heart, you do. Let's stand and let's sing in response to God this morning. Obey what God has spoken to your heart.